Hello.
Michael Costanzo. Michael Costanzo.
Richly big. Richly big.
Are you glad you came back?
I am.
Oh.
Well, that was something.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Richly Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned. Unscripted. And slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. And I got to say, it feels good to be back.
Yes, sirree.
I am ready to roll. We took last week off.
We had
our summer break.
Yeah.
But now we are well-rested. And I feel like it's a good, like, point to take a break.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like at the tail end of the summer season. Football hasn't really started yet. So I figured I think it's a good marker to take the break, because now we've got a lot of exciting things coming up in the future that will soon, actually, when you think about it, begin to wrap up 2015. When you think about it, half of the year is already gone.
Yeah, I know. We're heading into the final, what?
The home stretch.
Quarter of the season.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of the year.
Of the year.
So.
What did I say?
Of the season? Season, yeah.
I'm already in a football mentality.
You already want to just jump to football. Yeah. All right, Mike, I'm trying to help you, but I can't help you that much yet.
Okay.
We didn't even hit the sports sample.
I know.
Mike really loves football, for those that don't know.
If they've stuck around this long, they know how much I love football.
Yep. But before we dive into all the news that we want to get to, we like to do a little recap. And since we've been away for the past week, I'm sure, Mike, you've got a lot of things to talk about. Is that right, Mike? What did you do on your vacation?
Oh, my God. We did a whole bunch of stuff.
The reason why we take this break, really, is because...
It's my fault.
You do the family caravan down Ocean
yes.
City. What was the Costanzo family caravan up to this past week?
Well, we got into Ocean City, New Jersey on a Saturday, and we just took over the whole town. Everyone was, at our beck and whim. But no, it was good. We had a blast. You know, it's always fun going to Ocean City. I feel like it's a really good town for a family vacation. Because there's something there for everyone. It's not as loud and as packed and big as Wildwood. You know, it's not as like big and showy as Atlantic City. It's just like right in the middle, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
They have the amusements and the boardwalk, and it's a dry town, which is good for, you know, the young kids, but they have the liquor stores right over.
It's not good for me.
Well, they have the liquor stores right over the bridge.
It still isn't good for me.
It's still not good enough for you.
Yeah, come on, man.
But I
hook a brother up.
But, no, you can bring your own. You can bring, it's a bring your own city. But, we had a good time. It was just a really good time had by all. Nothing really exciting happened. It was a very laid back sort of vacation.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to relax on your vacation. Did you go on the beach?
Did go on the beach. I got,
are you a beach goer?
I
just realized, like, I mean, we, except for one time, I think in high school, we've never like gone on like a trip anywhere.
Well, the one time in high school and senior week we went down.
Yeah. So do you go like to go on the beach? Are you a beach goer?
The beach is fun. But my thing is, like, I can't stand doing anything for, like, very long. Like, after, like, 4 hours, I start to get antsy. Like, all right, come on, let's, you know, do something else. But I enjoy the beach. I bring a good book. I sit there and read a little bit. Because I go down with my younger cousins, you know, we're in the water a lot. So we're splashing around, having a good time, and getting a lot of sun, almost getting sunburned. But I was able to avoid that this year.
That's good. That's a win.
Yeah, yeah. Because I usually get burned. But I was up to... you know, I kept up to date on the sunscreen protection this year.
Your SPF was 5,000.
Yes, 5,000. It's over 9,000.
It's over 9,000!
But, no, you know, it's, I guess I wouldn't consider myself a beach bum, but I do enjoy it in spurts, yes.
Okay.
Because I know you're not a beach guy.
No, I'm really not. I am horrible. I'm horrible. For those that don't know, I went to the beach, I went to the shore. Let's clarify this. I went to Ocean City. And,
you didn't go to the beach.
And I didn't go to the beach. I you know, sand, salt water. No, that's not really my thing.
I don't like sand.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I am. I'm Anakin Skywalker.
You're Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, I don't like sand. I don't like salt water. I don't like getting sunburn. I don't like sweating.
No. Oh, that's the worst.
This is not my definition of a vacation. No.
Luckily, the weather was nice while I was down there. We had some nice ocean breezes coming in. There was one day where it was kind of nasty. All those little, you know, those little flies that come out and bite you.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the worst. But overall, it was pretty good. Other than that, though, I also got to see Ant-Man over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was okay. It was better than Age of Ultron. I did not like Age of Ultron this summer.
You didn't like Avengers 2?
No, it was okay, but it wasn't. I felt like it was all over the place. Ant-Man was a good origin story. Like, most of it was devoted to explaining the origins of Ant-Man and, you know, the whole motivation behind his character. I felt like they devoted too much time to that. And the villain, the antagonist, just, there was no purpose or point to him. I feel like they needed an antagonist, so they made this guy as arbitrarily evil as possible. Like, they have one scene where he's just, like, performing experiments on sheep. Like, there's no reason for it. There's, like, it's just completely random just to make him seem evil so the audience, like, hates him. But there was no reason for him and the protagonist to be, you know, against each other, really. At least I felt like it was very, very thin,
well,
that conflict.
It's a good thing it was sheep instead of goats. I love this goat right now.
I would have been heartbroken if it was goats.
Between the two movies, would you say Marvel's misfired then this summer?
This summer, yes, Marvel's misfired, I think.
Whoa.
I still say.
You're a Marvel guy, too.
I'm a huge Marvel fan, but Marvel really missed the shot this summer. I mean.
Wow, that's a lot coming from you.
And especially coming off of such a strong showing with Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought after Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought they could do no wrong because Guardians of the Galaxy was phenomenal. But this year, it's been a really weak offering so far.
Wow. Can I get you to convert to DC?
No.
Batman?
No. Because I saw a trailer for Batman versus Superman, and it just looks
Batman.
Stupid.
It's
I'm
Batman.
Sorry. It looks
it's
stupid.
Batman.
It looks stupid.
Come on, Mike.
It looks stupid.
It's Batman. It's not even. Do you like how I'm not even recognizing Superman?
Yeah, it's just Batman.
It's Batman.
You.
Come on.
I don't know.
All right. This is how you know Batman is the superior superhero to Superman. All right.
Okay.
This whole movie.
This is a Superman sequel.
It's supposed to be a Superman sequel.
Yeah.
And they're selling it because Batman's in it.
It's Batman versus Superman, not Superman versus Batman.
Right. Batman is taking over the Superman sequel.
With the tagline, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. Take that, all you Superman fans.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. Didn't do anything for me. I don't know. Maybe it can be good. I've never really watched any of the DC movies other than the Nolan Batman trilogy, which was probably one of the best superhero trilogies ever.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of Marvel this year, they have not been performing.
Yeah, that says a lot coming from you. You're a big Marvel guy.
It does. I feel like the issue with Age of Ultron is it was a bridge movie. It was like, let's get from point A to C as fast as possible and just throw as much crap in there as we can in order to get everybody up to speed for Infinity War.
Okay.
That's what it felt like to me. It felt very discombobulated and very haphazard. And Ant-Man was like, let's just make a quick couple $100 million, you know, with Paul Rudd and this like gimmicky hero where he can shrink down to ant size. There was no connection to the larger cinematic universe. They mentioned the Avengers, but it felt very shoehorned in there. You'll know when you see the movie, you'll be like, oh, okay. It just felt very awkward. But I still say the best movie this summer, Inside Out by Pixar. That's okay. Age of Ultron, these are the movies I've seen. Age of Ultron, Jurassic World, Ant-Man, and Inside Out. Inside Out was the best of those four.
There you go.
That's saying a lot because I love Jurassic Park, and I'm a huge Marvel fan.
Yeah, this is like all your fan base is doing battle at the same time in the summer blockbuster box office.
Yeah, it's been a great summer for movies.
For you.
Though. Yeah, for me personally, I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm waiting for the end. I want
You're waiting for Star Wars.
I want Star Wars and James Bond. Give me that.
I saw the Star Wars trailer on the big screen. Oh, man, you get the chills. Yep. It's so good. The music and the visuals.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, I can't wait for it. My younger cousin, she was like, eh. And I'm like, oh, you just don't understand.
No.
You just don't get it.
Nope.
She was excited for Batman versus Superman, though.
Yeah, all right, cool. I got somebody.
Yeah, but no, not Star Wars, though.
I'm going to have to pick my allies. Pick my allies better here.
Pick your allies. So are you not considering me an ally? Am I an enemy now?
No. I'm not saying you're an outright enemy.
Not an outright enemy? Yeah. So like frenemies
you're,
then?
Yeah, right, you're frenemies. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, Mike, yeah, we record the podcast every week.
And then we go and fight to the death.
Yeah, and then I gotta battle you over this stupid Marvel versus DC. Come on, we all know Batman.
Clearly
is,
Marvel is better.
Come on, we all know
Marvel. Marvel is clearly better.
there you go.
Anyway, all right, anyway, yes. What have you been up to this weekend?
We don't fight yet, we fight after the show has been recorded.
Right. We do this for like 2 to 3 hours and then we fight afterwards.
Right.
It's like a bloodbath, you guys should see it.
That's how it works.
But what have you been up to this week, Rich? What did you do with your week off? Just relax.
I had a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
I had a chance to swing on down to Camden.
Okay.
And saw the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, nice.
On tour with, out of all people, Marilyn Manson, which
that
seems like the oddest pairing.
It really is.
I want to be a fly on the wall in between the meetings with Billy Corgan and Marilyn Manson. They obviously must talk to each other if they're doing this tour together. I want to know. What the hell are they doing together?
I don't know. It is a very odd pairing.
It is. And it's also weird because it's two fan bases that are really, solidly only for that style of music.
Right.
Like, for example, for the Camden show, Marilyn Manson, plays more, metal, stuff like that, more, It's
death metal type.
Yeah, it's its own genre, right? Yeah. So a lot of the people that came to the show really only stayed for Manson and then left.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Which actually worked out well for me because I got bumped up in my seating. So
nice.
Yeah. it's weird that to have two very particular fan bases trying to merge together on one tour.
Yeah.
But for someone like me, it kind of worked out because I was never really a big Marilyn Manson fan.
But the crowd thinned out for you once the Smashing Pumpkins came on.
But also I got to see Marilyn Manson, I probably would never go out of my way to see him.
Right.
I'm not a huge Marilyn Manson fan, but I went to the show early. I checked it out and he put on a pretty good, pretty entertaining show. He does a lot of, religious symbols and all that stuff, but he also has like podiums and
podiums.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. And it sounds weird, but he's got different podiums for different songs and stuff.
Okay.
It's actually pretty cool.
I like how your big takeaway was.
He's got podiums.
When you're making a positives and negatives columns, it's like, religious iconography, negative. Positive, podiums.
Yes.
All right.
And
you can't go wrong with a good podium.
Yes.
All the greats had them. Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini.
You went there.
I went there.
You went there.
I went there.
All right. If Marilyn Manson listens to this podcast, that was Michael giving you the Nazi comparison. All right. That wasn't me.
Not saying he's a Nazi. I've never actually listened to any of his music, so I can't even say.
Well, anyway, I was in the same boat. I never really listened to Marilyn Manson. So when I showed up to the concert early, I didn't know what to expect, but it was,
he
puts on a pretty good show. And then I really wanted to see Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
And they're awesome. I've been really digging the new Smashing Pumpkins. The last two albums that they've released has just been awesome. I still go back and re-listen to them. They're on my iPod. I will put them on a drive, going from point A to point B. I'm more surprised that more radio stations don't play current Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, a lot of radio stations play the classics from the 90s.
Yeah.
But nobody plays like their newer stuff, and I don't know. I'm a little bummed out because it's pretty good, I think.
Well, as long as you like it, that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah.
Screw the radio stations. That's what iPods are for.
Yeah.
You know.
I did that. And then other than that, to be honest with you, I pretty much just took that week to just rest. Because obviously things are probably going to get crazier as we head down the home stretch here in 2015. And you know what? One of the ways you can tell things are going to get crazy is by looking at sports. We've got baseball season will be wrapping up soon. Golf season's wrapping up.
And football season is just getting started.
Yep, I know. Mike was waiting for that.
So excited.
So let's launch into it. Let's go into our first batch of topics. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha. Yeah, in your face. I love that. I miss that. We haven't done that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. We haven't. In your face. Ha. Yeah,
in your face. All right. Well, Mike, will you please indulge me just for, you know, a couple more minutes?
I shall.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Because this upcoming weekend is the last golf major. I'm sad. I can't believe it's already time for the last one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you want me to say? I'm not going to get heartbroken over it. I am excited, though.
Yeah. Well,
because it's finally ending.
Thanks, Mike.
No, I'm kidding. We've
really
had some
supporting me.
No, I'm kidding. We've had some good conversations with golf this year. We had the wartime golf rules, and you know, we had a whole bunch of fun with golf this year. So, what's happening in this last major of the year?
All right. So the last major is the PGA Championship, and this is the last shot for 2015 to try and win a major. And you know, majors boost your career, elevate your profile, put you right on the main stage in the golf world. The big story is Rory McIlroy is coming back from his leg injury that he suffered while playing soccer. Still bothers me that he was doing that. But he's coming back into form and trying to take one major this year in 2015. He hasn't won a major this year.
Yeah, wow.
The world number one. Yeah, he hasn't won a major this year.
That's crazy. Yeah, considering he won a few last year.
He won two
last
year.
Yeah. Yeah. He got that video game named after him.
Yep.
Everybody thought he was going to be the next Tiger Woods, but this year he's been very quiet.
Yep, but this year the hot golfer has been Jordan Spieth, and obviously you know, first off, if you haven't heard of Jordan Spieth, he won the Masters and the U.S. Open earlier this year.
Right.
The Masters he won in convincing fashion. And he's young guy, 21, man. He's the young, hot guy that's taken over the golf world by storm. He is the favorite to win the PGA Championships.
That would be his third major of the year, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, that's pretty good.
What a way to start off your career, already having three out of the four majors in your pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, all he'd have to do is just target for that British Open.
Yeah, and then you would have a career Grand Slam.
Right.
Not the official Grand Slam, though.
No, but still prestigious.
Right, yeah. I mean, not many golfers do it.
Arnold Palmer doesn't even have a career Grand Slam.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a drink named after him.
Yeah. So it's important if you can get the career Grand Slam. But anyway, we digress. Going back to this one, PGA Championship this weekend, going to be held in Whistling Straits. For those that don't know where that is in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Wow.
Yeah, very random location, but why not?
What else is in Wisconsin? Nothing. I think this is the only thing.
Yeah,
this is the only thing Wisconsin has.
All right.
Like, guys, something's happening here.
Close down the town.
Strike out the band. Da, 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 da. Something's happening in our state. Good for Wisconsin, though. But, tell us a little bit about Whistling Straits.
All right, so this is where the PGA Championship is going to be this weekend. I've got a list of the Vegas odds as to who's the favorite.
Okay.
Who you should keep an eye out for. So first off, we already said it, Jordan Spieth. He's the favorite. This would be his third major title if he pulls it off. He's at 11-2, according to Vegas odds. Then it's Rory McIlroy, the world number one, coming back from the ruptured ankle ligament that he suffered. He's at 9-1. Then it's this guy named Dustin Johnson. He's 12-1, and
now,
boy,
he's the guy.
Do you remember?
Yeah, he was. You said he choked away the one major.
He's this guy. He has like great first and second rounds, and then the weekend hits Saturday and Sunday, and he. I don't want to say it, but he blows it.
Yeah, so you think he's like a choker then?
Well, unfortunately, his record keeps saying that. Every time he's in a – he should have won the U.S. Open.
Right.
He was ahead going into the last two holes of the U.S. Open, and he choked it to Jordan Spieth.
The last two holes?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he choked it on a three-putt.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he just doesn't finish well.
But that brings up another point. You mentioned Jordan Spieth. They kind of have – you mentioned one week they sort of have like a little rivalry going on. They always seem to be like neck and neck.
Yeah, they always seem to – and they always seem to be paired in the same group. I don't know if that's probably done on purpose. But,
probably.
You know, you never know. So Dustin Johnson is at 12-1. Another golfer named Jason Day, who has been kind of –
I haven't heard that name before, though, in our talks.
He's been appearing every now and then in the top five, you know, kind of in the middle of the majors so far this year.
Right.
So, yeah, he's in it. He hasn't won, but he's in it. He's at 14-1. Here's one of my favorite players, Bubba Watson.
We've mentioned him before. I recognize that name.
He's at 14-1. And the reason why is because he is known for his long drives, and apparently this course, Whistling Straits, has a couple of very long par fives.
Okay.
So that will cater to his strengths. We have young gun Ricky Fowler, another young guy who's up-and-comer, but he hasn't won a major yet. So it would be interesting to see if he can win one to prove his worth here on the PGA Tour. And then going down the list, here are the recognizable names. Phil Mickelson, old lefty. He's at 40-1, but his problem is he doesn't seem to be very consistent. He might be able to make the cut on Friday, but
he's getting up there in age.
Yeah,
though.
Right. He doesn't. He's been having trouble putting together four solid rounds together. And then, of course, everyone has to at least see where this guy is.
Yeah,
Tiger Woods. He's also at 40-1, but really. Nobody's taking him seriously.
Wow.
It's sad.
That is sad, considering he was widely regarded for the longest time as the best golfer in the world.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, you know, between the scandals and him losing, you know, the partnership with EA. And
everybody. Nike, too, right? Wasn't he with Nike at one point?
Yeah, I think he's still with Nike.
Is he still with Nike?
Yeah, I don't think Nike broke the deal off.
Okay.
But EA broke their deal off.
He hasn't done anything since the scandal broke.
Yeah, you know,
when it first happened, people were like, "Oh, it's just a coincidence." At this point, though, I don't know if you can call it a coincidence anymore. If it's been the same story for like what is it, like 6-7 years now?
Yeah,
or more than that.
And the worst part is, it's not that you know we're pointing it out because of the scandal. We're pointing it out because he was the world number one. And he's failing to make cuts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're not talking about just like, oh, he's not winning tournaments.
And it's not like he's old or anything.
He's not just not winning tournaments. He's not making the cut.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
That's a pretty sharp and stark decline right there.
Right. Like, you should at least be able to make the cut.
Yeah. And he's not old either. It's not like he's a declining player. Like, he should still be in his prime, shouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not in the prime, no. He's getting to the end of true prime playing.
And I guess he has had a few injuries, but I mean, there's older golfers than him on these tours.
Some, yeah. Well, Phil Mickelson's older, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But he should still be performing, though.
Yeah,
I feel like
he still should be making cuts.
Right.
Like if Friday rolls around and Tiger Woods is again missing the cut, I mean, what more is there? What more is there left for him to do?
You're
not making the cut.
Yeah,
that means you're not even pulling in any money. So what are you even doing?
Just golfing for fun.
Well, maybe he still has money coming in from his endorsements.
That's probably what it is.
But it's still not.
But will those endorsements stick around if he keeps missing cuts?
Right. I don't think so. So it's not looking good for Tiger Woods. Just Tiger, focus on making the cut, and then we can worry about other things.
Yeah, focus on the other type of hole.
Good job, Mike.
There's two types of holes that he's got to focus on.
Good
he's
job.
He's got to focus. Just saying.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Mike's making very crass jokes already here in the golf segment. I guess that's the cue that I should probably stop talking golf. Are you all right with that?
I'm fine with that.
All right.
Yes.
Well, keep an eye out this weekend. The PGA Championship, the last major of 2015. Who will be the one to pull the Wanamaker Trophy for their own in their career majors total, if you will? Because
okay,
yeah.
What? That was a very confusing sentence.
Yes, I know. I kind of ran out of steam at the end of that. But
so, what are they doing again?
Well, the trophy's called the Wanamaker Trophy.
Okay,
so someone has to try and get it,
win it,
and
right.
win it, so
okay.
they can put it in their career. Trophy case.
All right, then. Well put, Rich.
Yes. I was trying to get some water in the middle of that. Thank you, Mike.
No problem.
All right, let's get to more Philly-related topics. In the 2 weeks since we last were on the broadcast, we saw the Phillies trade two big-name players at the trade deadline. Let's get the first one out of the way. Let's do Jonathan Papelbon, because this was a simple trade. They traded him to the Nationals just for, I believe, two prospects. And really, that was a case of the Phillies needed to unload a massive contract.
Yeah.
Jonathan Papelbon is a pretty much lights-out closer. He's well-known all over the league. So the Nationals thought, since the last two times they made the playoffs, they choked, they choked away their chance to advance further in the playoffs in the latter innings. They figured, why not bring in some closing support? So they traded for Jonathan Papelbon. That's pretty much, you know, maybe the Nationals will be able to use them in the postseason, but the Nationals, you got to make the postseason. Right now they're in second place in the division.
Well, they're in better shape than the Phillies, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but
everybody's in better shape than the Phillies.
Actually, yeah, first off, we all knew this season was going to be a train wreck for the Phillies, but actually the Phillies have been doing pretty good lately.
I think they're technically the best team in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break, right? Are they still, or?
They're around there, but what's more important is that they are no longer in last place in the division. We've advanced ahead of the Marlins.
Wow.
Take that,
good
Miami.
Job. You're beating a team that has like zero fans.
Yeah, take that. We are not the worst team.
All right, good for us.
Yeah.
We're just ruining our chances. This is what I mean. It's like they suck, but they don't suck enough. It's like all the Philly teams do this thing where they're like, they're really bad, and they're at the very end, they're like, no, let's be only sort of bad and ruin our chances for like better draft picks or whatever baseball does. I don't know.
Yeah, they do drafts. Yep.
Well, I don't know how it works. Is it like a football's record based, or they do a stupid lottery or something?
No, they don't do a lottery, but there's so many rounds that it really
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's close out Jonathan Papelbon. We'll see you later. He was, I think he has the most career saves as a Philly. So
wow.
He will go down in Philadelphia Phillies history books. But you know what? Papelbon was a recent addition. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's get to the more heartbreaking news. The Phillies finally had to trade Cole Hamels.
Yeah, this was a heartbreaker, really.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But it's still sad to see Cole Hamels go. Cole Hamels has pretty much, before this trade, had his entire career in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Was the World Series MVP when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series in 2008. You know,
he's been incredible for this team.
Yeah.
I mean, that year that they won the World Series, he was, and the year after that when they went back, he was just phenomenal. I mean, one of the best in the league, I think.
Yep. Well, apparently he still is, and the Texas Rangers saw the talent and offered a pretty big trade package for Cole Hamels. We traded away Cole Hamels and another pitcher, I believe it was Dykeman, to the Texas Rangers in return for six players, which is a great way for a struggling team to rebuild.
Yeah.
So on paper, this absolutely makes sense. The Phillies had to do it. They were sellers at the trade deadline. But, you know, just a little bit hurts because, you know.
But Cole, do you think these six guys are better than Cole Hamels?
Well, here's
the... I'm worried that they're going with quantity over quality.
Well, unfortunately, in baseball, you when your team is at the tail end of the rankings, when your team is at the bottom, you have to go quantity or over quality. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop your farm system. You're trying to increase your chances on finding that next star player that's going to help you.
Right.
So
you can't hold on to that one star if the rest of the team is dragging that player down.
Right. So, unfortunately, the Phillies had to trade Cole Hamels to the Texas Rangers. Though it is a good deal for the Phillies. They increase their prospects. And who knows, maybe in those prospects, maybe a future star will develop. Hopefully two stars will develop from that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. But for the Texas Rangers, they get some much-needed help with Cole Hamels as they try to make the playoffs in the American League. Fun fact, can I ask you this question?
Go for it.
Only two players are now left from the 2008 World Series team. Do you have any idea who they are?
Chase Utley?
Yeah,
right?
Chase Utley.
Okay. And is Ruiz still on the team?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, three. Sorry, it's three.
Ruiz and...
Ruiz, Utley...
Oh, man, I don't know.
No?
No. Who?
He, Mr. Strikeout.
Oh, Ryan Howard? How did I forget him?
I like how all I had to do was remind you of Strikeout. Oh, Ryan Howard.
I honestly, that's how much I've been following the Phillies this year. I don't even know who's on the team anymore.
Well,
you forgot Ruiz was on the team, apparently.
No, I meant to say three. I said two, sorry.
But yeah, I'm shocked that they still have those three people from that team. That was... Mm-hmm. What, 7 years ago?
Yeah, that was this has been part of the problem with the Phillies.
Yeah.
They kept on
so many players for so long.
Yeah, out of loyalty, they kept these players for so long. Well,
it worked for a while.
Yeah,
but
this is what happens. Your window shuts.
Yeah, no, it didn't shut. It slammed.
Right. So
we almost got our fingers. Well, we did get our fingers caught in it a little bit.
Right. So there you go. A little bit of baseball news for you. Phillies, keep up the good work. Actually.
Yeah, keep on, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
Good job, Mike. All right, Mike, let's finally get... Mike has been in agony. He wants to talk about this so bad. I'll give it to him. Folks, it's time for some football talk.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching football!
All right, and preseason is now officially underway. In the NFL, so
yes,
the season is not too far behind. Mike, you're getting ramped up.
I'm really excited. I'm always excited for when the football season starts. I can't wait to see how the Eagles do this year. I'm just glad to get back into the swing of things with football.
Yep. So, you know what? We're already looking towards the season. Is it a little bit illogical to already make predictions for the Super Bowl? The answer is yes, but why the hell not?
Exactly. Let's do it.
All right. So this is official preseason predictions for the Super Bowl. Mike, if I held a gun to your head right now, who would you say is who would you believe is the matchup that will occur for Super Bowl 50?
Oh,
gun is now at your head.
Okay, the gun's at my head. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a tough.
Damn it, Mike!
It's a tough question because
don't make me pull the trigger.
There's so many unanswered questions still.
Ah!
But at this very moment, I think the one team that has been impressive the past few years in the AFC and will continue to be impressive is the Indianapolis Colts. I think they have a pretty good shot. They have they're in a very weak division with the Jags, the Titans, and the Texans. They had a few key additions to the team. Andrew Luck continues to impress. I really can't see many negatives with them. They led the league, but they were in the top three, I think, in terms of offense, the last couple of years. I just think they have a lot of upside for them. The other big power teams in the AFC, like the Patriots and the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning is getting old. They'll be in there. They'll be in the hunt. But I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl. The Patriots, they're going to struggle a little bit without Tom Brady for the first 4 weeks. They also lost Darrell Revis. So, you know, we don't know how the Patriots are going to play out this year, especially, you know, playing with those fully inflated footballs now. It's going to be really difficult for them. The Chargers, I have no confidence in them whatsoever, never have. So for the AFC, I think the Colts are a pretty good bet. The NFC is a little tricky because there's a lot of teams that improved, but we don't know exactly where they're going to fall. But I would say right now, and if I had to pick a team, it's a tough one. I'm gonna be very cliche and say the Seahawks because they added Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
And I think that was one of the things they were missing was a big offensive weapon. Their defense is still going to be relatively strong with those safeties and their front seven. I think the addition of Jimmy Graham will give Russell Wilson a good target to go to. But I'm also unsure about them because they lost the Super Bowl. There's that whole Super Bowl loser's curse. We see how that usually affects teams. So I don't know how that's going to play out. A few other teams have really improved. The Cowboys, you know, they were very good last year. It pains me to say they were very good last year. They're going to be very good again this year. Tony Romo has an amazing offensive line in front of him. I know they lost DeMarco Murray, but he's getting old. He had a lot of touches last year. And I really think it came down to that offensive line protecting Romo, giving him time, leading the charge with DeMarco Murray. The Giants also got better this year. The Packers, you know, are still up there as well. So I'd say it's going to come down to one of those teams right there, the Packers, the Seahawks, or possibly the Cowboys, as much as it pains me to say it. I think the Cardinals could make a push, but we don't know what they're doing at quarterback yet. The Eagles aren't going to make it. I don't have that much faith in them.
Whoa. All right, Mike.
Well, no, I honestly don't think they're there yet. All not right. yet. But short answer, Colts and Seahawks.
All right.
Maybe the Packers or Cowboys. What do you think?
All right, here's what I'm going to go with. First off, for the NFC, you're right about the Super Bowl loser's curse. I think the Seahawks are going to take a step back this year.
It's going to be tough for them.
And they lost pieces on that defense.
They did lose a few pieces, yes.
That defense is not going to be they're not going to be the traditional Legion of Boom that we saw the last couple of seasons.
But that
I think they're going to take a hit.
That wasn't their issue. Their issue was putting points on the board, too.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see. We'll see.
I think they're going to take a step back. Not to say that they're going to be horrible, but I think they're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind, out of all the teams in the NFL, the team that hasn't changed a whole lot is the Green Bay Packers.
That's very true.
And the Green Bay Packers were just a minute and a half away from making the Super Bowl this year.
That's true.
They just let their guard down and let the Seahawks come back in that horrible game. If you're a Packers fan, I'm sure you must have had a heart attack. But I say recover and get ready for this season because I think, by far, I think the Packers are the team to beat in the NFC. I don't see – first off, that trio of Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Eddie Lacy, that offense is going to be crazy again this year.
That is a very good offense.
That is an insanely good offense.
Their defense has been susceptible, though, the past few years.
I think that's the only thing that you could even say is somewhat of a weak spot. But even then, like, just how – powerful that offense is.
I think it could very well come down to Seahawks and Packers again in the championship game.
It could.
I mean, who else is in the NFC East other than the Cowboys and the Giants?
And I don't think the Cowboys aren't that good, to be honest with you.
I think the Cowboys
lost a couple pieces as well.
They did, but they made up for it. They kept Dez Bryant. They kept their offensive line. I think they're going to be in the hunt.
They'll be in the hunt, but I don't think they're going to go deep. I don't think
really.
So. I really don't think
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that Tony Romo will choke again. But when you look at it on paper, you got to say, you know, even as an Eagles fan, you got to say, on paper, they look pretty damn good right now.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think they're all that in a bag of chips. Nope.
No. I hope not. I hope you're right, honestly.
Nope. A matter of fact, to be honest with you.
They did go 12-4 last year, though.
I think the Giants are going to sneak up on a couple people this year.
You think the Giants are just going to leapfrog all the way from third?
Not saying they're going to be super out of this world awesome, but the Giants right now have Victor Cruz back.
Yeah.
They got a couple of pieces in the defense from the draft and free agency. Tom Coughlin is going to coach his heart out because he's on the hot seat.
Right.
If he has a bad year this year, the New York media is going to toss him out.
Not to mention the breakout season of Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham, yeah, I'm telling you.
But who do they have at running back right now? Do we even know?
We'll find out.
Well, stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. But
But I mean that's the issue. You can't
The Giants are not going to be a pushover team. I think
not by any means.
They're going to be in this. They're going to be in the mix for the division, I think.
Yeah.
It's not
the Redskins will be in fourth.
Yeah.
That's like almost as safe a bet as you can make.
Yeah. That's a good one. But anyway, from the NFC, I'm going with Packers. The AFC is a lot tougher to me, in my opinion. I think the AFC.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the AFC is going to be tougher to try and figure out a winner. The Colts. See, here's my thing with the Colts. All right, the Colts on paper. This is another one of those
right,
things.
On paper.
On paper, the Colts look like they should run away with this. But there is a trend going on where if you're in a weak division.
You're weak too.
Yeah, you're not. That's, yeah,
that is
your record doesn't really show you what your true strengths are, and then you enter the playoffs and you get bounced out in the first round.
Right.
See Denver. See, you know, we've had this happen.
But the question is, do you really have faith in the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Patriots?
I have some faith in a team that has won the Super Bowl recently in the last couple seasons or so.
Okay.
I have a team that has recently. Signed their quarterback to a pretty big contract. I have a team that has finally shaken off a running back fiasco.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Going with the Baltimore Ravens.
Really?
As of right now. I mean, this is
pre-preseason.
Yes. But I like the way the Ravens are right now.
Okay.
I think the Ravens could have a very good shot. They're going to have to work their way out of a very tough division. They got the Steelers.
Yeah.
They got the Bengals.
Remember, the Bengals were pretty good last year, and they're going to be pretty good again this
year.
And the Steelers, while I don't think they're as good, they're going to cause some serious problems for the other teams in that division.
Right. So I think the Ravens are going to prove their mettle, make it to the playoff. They don't even have to win the division. They can make it as a wild card.
That's
and then,
true.
We all know the Ravens are great on the road.
They are great on the road.
I think the Ravens so far. In my mind, the Patriots are weaker than they were last year.
They are not
the Super Bowl team that they were last year.
I don't think the Broncos can really win in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Broncos...
Peyton Manning can't win in the playoffs, I should say.
Peyton Manning's... Let's be honest. Peyton Manning's getting too old. He is. He's breaking down.
He is.
We saw that.
He can't play in the cold either. Denver, if they get home field advantage, he's screwed.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm serious. If they get home field advantage, he's screwed. That's what's been screwing him over.
Yeah. And the Colts, I think they're in that weak division. I don't think that's going to produce a strong team. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. And so my matchup is Packers versus Ravens.
Okay. All right. I mean, I guess I can see that. But in my mind, the Ravens are the third best team in that division in the AFC North.
You would put the Bengals and the Steelers over the Ravens?
I think so. I think
really?
So. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Flacco.
Yeah, I know you.
Joe Flacco. Come on, Flacco.
He's just such a bland quarterback.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's great. I thought you were all about the gunslingers like Brett Favre.
Yeah, I like Brett Favre too, but okay. I also like Joe Flacco.
All right.
By the way, fun fact. Flacco,
you're just full of fun facts today.
Joe Flacco is a University of Delaware graduate,
if I remember correctly. Yes, he is, yeah.
So go Delaware.
Go team.
Yeah. But no, seriously, I think the Ravens have a good shot. I really do.
All right.
And they're flying low under the radar right now. I love a team that does that, you know, who slowly and silently gets better and you don't realize it. Because those are the teams that all of a sudden, halfway through the season, they turn the switch and they win five games in a row, you know?
Yeah.
So
we couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass.
Shut up, Jim Mora. He's trying.
Well, I don't know. It seems like your iPad has different ideas, Rich.
Jim Mora is trying to tell me the Ravens aren't going to do well this year. Damn it.
I like your predictions, though. The Ravens is, if I say so, a ballsy prediction.
Thank you.
Because
but this is
I mean I don't see it, but I understand the logic there that you're making. So
yeah,
but this is pre-preseason,
right? Yeah.
Odds are it's gonna be some team like the Miami Dolphins or something.
Well, it could be the Dolphins.
They're looking better.
They got the defensive guy.
The defensive guy.
The big game, Sue.
Oh, Ndamukong Suh.
Thank you.
No, yeah, the Dolphins.
I know sports.
The Dolphins. No, well, the Dolphins have been steadily improving the past couple of years, so you never know. They could be that one breakout team this year.
Right.
And then there's always the Eagles. Yeah, so
woo! Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. My Super Bowl prediction, Eagles versus Eagles. Because we always seem to be our biggest enemy.
That's not the Super Bowl. That's just the Philly Bowl.
That's just the Philly Bowl.
That's the Wing Bowl. Eagles versus Eagles.
But speaking of the Eagles being their own biggest enemy, there are some people out there that think we might need a little bit of holy intervention in order to win any games this year, Rich.
Yeah.
That's right. This is just a real quick story, something that came across our news desk right before recording. Apparently, there is a petition going around right now on change.org to have Pope Francis bless Sam Bradford's knees when he visits Philadelphia in September.
Well, we could use it.
The petition has 1,200 signatures already.
Yeah.
It is literally only 250 signatures away from reaching the goal of 1,500.
Well, I mean, why not? He's going to be in town. He's going to be causing all this mayhem here in Philadelphia. By the way, I know this isn't sports related. This is Philadelphia related, though. Did you see the list of closures that are going to happen in the Philadelphia area?
Yeah. I hope nobody has to take public transportation either, because...
public service announcement, we're screwed.
Yeah. Look, for that...
we are screwed this week.
For that weekend, just barricade your doors, hide under a blanket, and just pray for it to end.
That weekend is... I think the Pope weekend is the last weekend in September.
Sure, why not?
We are screwed. They're closing down 76... 676,
yeah.
A portion of 95, and the Ben Franklin Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, you'll literally be trapped inside the city.
Yeah. It's going to be like Arkham City.
Yeah, not to mention that if you didn't get into the SEPTA lottery, you might not be able to take public transportation.
Yeah.
So
it's Arkham City.
Yeah. I want to know what people are going to do, the people that commute for work.
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't get a lottery ticket for traveling SEPTA those days, what are they going to do? It's mayhem. It really is.
All because of the Pope.
Look, if he causes this much mayhem, he better bless Sam Bradford's knees. He better bless the whole team's knees.
Yeah, right. So, you know what? Padre. Oh, Padre, you're going to have to visit Lincoln Financial Field. Add that to your itinerary. And help us win a damn Super Bowl, for the love of God.
Wouldn't it be fun if he actually did? Like, he seems like a relatively down-to-earth person. He's always, like, mingling with the commoners.
Yeah,
I could see it happening.
Yeah, he's known for being a jovial and common man kind of.
Yeah, so bless Sam Bradford's kind of knees.
Yeah, do awesome. It.
Could you imagine if we, like, literally had the Pope, like, bless the Eagles, and we had, like, this holy... like, crusade to win the Super Bowl that year. You know, the NFL would just have to give it to us.
You know what would be funny?
You can't go against the powers that be.
You know what would be funny?
What?
He blesses Sam Bradford's knees and he goes out of the first play. Like,
very first play. His leg just explodes.
Bam! Yeah.
He doesn't even get hit. He just takes that first step and boom.
The coin toss.
Oh, yeah, he trots out for the coin toss and he just collapses. Sam Bradford's knees are broken in 7 places.
Yeah. Oh, man, the weight of that nickel.
The weight of that nickel. Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, but if you want to help out Sam Bradford and his knees, make sure you sign the petition over at change.org to have Pope Francis bless Sam Bradford's knees and protect them from the horror of the coin toss.
Why is it on change.org? Isn't that for President Obama?
I don't know. It's just what, it's where the link led me. Okay,
is
Rich.
Is Obama going to call the Pope up?
Yo, Pope. It's Obama. Go bless the Eagles.
Yo, Frank.
Yo, Frank.
I got this weird request here. How about some homies in Philly?
Yeah. Hook them up. Get them that Lombardi trophy.
You know what? We will take anything.
Yeah.
Please, we will take anything if it means a Super Bowl victory here in Philadelphia. Because you know what? We don't have anything else better in Philadelphia sports.
Look, if the Pope doesn't work out, we could always pray to Satan, so.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Bill Belichick did. He's got 4 Super Bowls.
We need to bring this to the attention of Pope Francis. Your track record's not very good.
Yeah.
All right? Devil 4, God 1.
What was the one?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, okay.
He loves God.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very religious person.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You know what? So So there you go. That's Al Rendon, the sports sampler. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll take a bit of a break to confer with our religious core to see if our facts are accurate on that one. But then we'll come back and hit you with the entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What? We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling and whatnot. We've conferred with our religious panel. I think we're right in the 4-1 assessment.
Yeah, we double-checked our facts, as we always do on this show. And our panel of bishops and Satanists have confirmed that Satan is definitely leading the series 4-1.
Yeah. What a wild and wacky panel we've got. That's full.
Yeah, I don't know how we got them all together.
Yeah.
That's a miracle right there, so maybe it should be Satan 4, God 2.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
But you know what? The Satanists also have to agree with coming onto the board in the first place.
That's
so
true.
So that's 5-2.
5-2. Okay.
This is a really high
score. So how long
affair.
Is this series? Like 13 games?
I guess. This is a really high scoring affair.
Yeah. The point is, God, help the Eagles, and it'll be 5-3.
Yeah, there you go. You're closing the gap. Help us out.
There you go, yeah.
All right, that's enough sports. Too much sports. It's bleeding over into the next segment,
yeah.
Which we must not have, because it is the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Having a good Friday, so I refuse to talk about the Kardashians today. You are on
you
your
left.
Own, Amy. I can't
you
do it. I've had enough Kardashians.
You,
I can't take any more
me.
Kardashian
okay,
stories
wait.
On this show.
Okay, well, we got to get it in now because you mentioned it, John. Kylie Jenner
Jeez.
Got a new...
You,
come, here,
you.
Come here, Jamie. Come here. So Kylie Jenner got a
Let
new
Let me ask
rabbit.
You this, John.
Why? Oh, he left.
Oh.
I don't
how
care.
Cute is that?
This family. I'm sick of this
yeah.
family.
But do you think
I can't take it anymore.
Is there something psychological behind this?
It's like a non-story. It's a non-story. We're talking about this family every freaking day on this show. Nobody cares about this family anymore. I've had enough. It's Friday. I want to have a good Friday. I don't want to talk about the Kardashians. That's enough
the
of these
The sad
guys.
Part about it is that I agree
show.
With you.
Does anybody listen to the research? Nobody cares about the Kardashians
That's
anymore.
That's not true. They
He's
get,
on fire.
They get
Nobody cares.
People watch
we do it every
breathe.
Day.
Breathe.
People watch the show.
Breathe, my love. Breathe.
There, the news is out. Done. Over. Have a great weekend.
I think it's Friday for him.
His head looks like a tomato right now.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about him. It's enough of these guys.
I'm sorry, Jenny.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Thank you. Who is
finally.
Who is that brave newscaster?
I have no idea. Somebody named John.
John, you are
John,
the man.
I found it. News anchor John Brown.
John Brown, you are the man.
From Fox 35 in Florida, of all places.
Yeah. Wait. Florida actually did something logical and something we can actually get behind?
Yeah.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, who
the
is this
guy? The guy in Florida is John Brown from Fox 35.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
But you know what? This guy is not crazy.
No, he isn't. He makes a great point. It's a non-story.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Oh, yeah. I'm just so proud of him. I'm so glad he just had enough.
I know. It's so refreshing to hear somebody finally say it and just freak out and say, you know, this is pointless to talk about this stuff. They wanted to talk about how the one girl named her rabbit Bruce, after Bruce Jenner. Who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Wow. So, anyway, yeah, the Kardashians, a non-news story. I agree. Completely agree.
John Brown?
From Fox 35 in Florida.
We salute you. We're going to give you a victory screech.
Victory screech!
We should use that more often.
Yep.
I propose every single time the Eagles win this football season, we should play a victory screech.
Victory screech!
I think we can add that.
I love it.
Seriously, though, that guy is made of win. That is
awesome.
Yeah,
he really is. Congrats on him.
I've had enough, too. I don't want to know what Kardashians are doing. I don't want to know what Caitlyn Jenner's doing. I don't want to know.
It's too much.
I'm done.
It's too much. They're not even celebrities.
No, they're not.
They're famous because the one sister had sex on tape.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what she did.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah. So, there you go.
That's our analysis.
Yes, our old man trapped in the iPad knows
our old man
about.
Trapped in the iPad.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Kind of sounds like he's making a defense for her.
Yeah.
Hey,
it was erotic.
It was erotic.
You know? Come on.
I kind of deserve to be famous. You know, it was erotic. Just say it.
Good point. Good point, old man in the iPad.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
It was erotic.
It was erotic.
Yeah, it sounds like he's defending her.
Oh, boy. The old man in the iPad defending the Kardashians.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Welcome to the Chris
I didn't realize
podcast.
You had an old man trapped in your iPad.
Yes, the old man is trapped in the iPad.
What's going on here? All these digital effects.
So how does he know what to say at the right time?
Oh, someone taps me on the back and I say a catchphrase and it just happens.
I know it's something to do with sex.
See, it just happens.
It just happens. All right. Science.
Science, yes.
Not many people knew that. That's how iPads and iPhones work. There's tiny old people trapped inside.
Yeah.
Every single time you touch the screen.
When Grandpa died, he didn't get buried. He got transferred into an iPad.
Yeah. He's now in my iPhone.
Yeah. So you can take him wherever you go.
That's so creepy. Think about all the things you browse on those devices. Oh, what would your grandparents say about you?
I know it's something to do with sex.
Oh, boy. Alrighty then.
Yeah, all right. Well, enough of the Kardashians. Enough of this jibber jabber. I turned into Mr. T, apparently. Let's get into our next segment here. This is one. that Mike prepares and gives you a list of things to go over in terms of movies and video games and music that you should keep an eye out for this week and weekend. It's called This Week in Entertainment.
Fifty Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
All right.
There's the old man striking back again.
Yeah, the old man also knows 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, apparently. He's very well versed.
I know it's something to do with sex.
All right. Well, Mike, what do you have in This Week in Entertainment besides the erotica?
All right. Well, first up... In movie
you
theaters.
You have erotica?
I do not have erotica, okay. Unfortunately.
Just double checking.
It would be a much more interesting This Week in Entertainment if I did.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I don't know if this one's erotic, but it looks to be a pretty good action-adventure comedy. It's The Man from U.N.C.L.E. coming out in theaters this week. It's a spy movie. It's an action comedy set in the 1960s. It's based on a TV show from the 1960s as well. The basic premise is that in the early 1960s, CIA agent Napoleon Solo and KGB operative Ilya Kuratov, participate in a joint mission against a mysterious criminal organization which is working to proliferate nuclear weapons. Usually you're the ones that stumbles over the Russian names. This name, Ilya... Kuryakin, there we go. I said it.
All right, there you go.
It wasn't that difficult.
Good job, Mike.
So if you're interested in some good old-fashioned 1960s espionage...
Say the goddamn f***ing right!
Go check out The Man from U.N.C.L.E. opening this week in theaters.
Say the goddamn f***ing right!
All right, I will. Mr. White, I think, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Reservoir Dogs.
Right.
You're gonna be okay! Say the goddamn words! You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Alright, I'll say them! This week in video games.
I love how we had like happy cheerful music behind that one.
Yeah, I know. Say the goddamn words!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
It's just like a movie studio executive gone crazy.
Yes. Give me that script now!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Give me the line!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Oh my god. Alright. Well, let's move out of movies and into video games. This week in the world of video games, we have a PS4 exclusive, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. It's an exploration adventure game. It currently has a 77 on Metacritic. This is not a game for people that want fast-paced action. This is more about being immersed in an environment and, exploring to try and discover the mysteries about people's lives in the moments leading up to an apocalyptic event. So basically, you just explore the environment and get to witness the choices that people make when they're faced with the world-shattering events beyond their control. So it's more of like an experimental type of interactive fiction than a video game. But if you're into that type of stuff, it's getting pretty good reviews so far, so you might want to go check that out. If you're into something a little more goofy, you might want to check out Goat Simulator, coming out on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. This already released on Xbox consoles, but it's finally making its way over to the Sony platforms. The basic gist of it is you play as a goat. I mean, what more?
I love this goat right now.
Yeah, I mean...
It's perfect for
you. You know I'm picking this up.
I love this goat right now.
In fact, I'm probably playing it right now as you're listening to this, to be honest.
I love this goat right now.
I can't wait for this one. I've watched YouTube videos on it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You play as a goat that can jump around. You can baa at things. And you can lick things. And when you lick things, it sticks to your tongue and you can whip it around like weird physics-based craziness.
I love this goat right now.
Yeah, I mean, I love that goat right now. I'm so excited to try this out. It is one of the most ridiculous games on the market right now. It is unabashedly buggy and broken. That's what the developer wants. So if you want to see some crazy, broken, glitchy, physics-based wackiness, go check out Goat Simulator, coming out on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. Finally, this is something we don't talk about often in This Week in Entertainment, but we have a little bit of music news for you guys. Featuring none other than a guest that we've had to the show before, Mike Roy from Roy and the Secret People, his group recently released a new single and video called Phoenix.
Yeah, I got a chance to check this out over the week. And I got to admit, I'm really digging this.
Yeah, I really like the sound of it. It's very like sort of like mellow and melodic, and it has a really catchy refrain to it. The music video looks really cool. But right now I have a sample of the song, Rich. If you want to give some people a little taste of what they're in for when they check out this single.
I think that's appropriate.
Should we play it for them?
Yeah. All right. So here you go. This is a quick sample of Phoenix off of their album Phoenix by Roy and the Secret People. Let's play the clip. I'm really digging that sound.
Yeah, I really like it too. It's got a really catchy hook to it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel better after listening to that song. Is that just me?
No. I totally agree. It's very mellow, very like relaxed almost.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I do enjoy the sound. And you know what? There's some other great songs on this album too. I remember when Mike Roy was on promoting this album. He played one of the songs. I think he played Sweet Maria for us.
Yeah.
That's on the album too. That's a great one. If you want to check out that one, go check out that episode way back when. I don't recall which one it was, but you can go and check on the website, chrismunal.com, to see when we had Mike Roy on. He's been on, I think, a few times.
Yep. But the very first time he was on, he gave us a musical performance.
Yeah, our first live performance.
Yeah, he was our first musical guest.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're just really great, fun, catchy songs. So definitely go check them out. Go check out the music video for Phoenix as well. That just came out this past week. Once again, that's Phoenix by Roy and the Secret People.
Yeah, definitely check that out if you're a music fan or if you like the sound of what we just played. Definitely support local music, support independent music. Check them out. And check out Mike Roy. He's a great guest to have on the show. Hopefully when they announce some more Philly dates, we're going to have him back on the show to promote those concerts. Well, you know what? If you kind of notice, we're bringing the tone of the Chris Munal podcast to a more subdued state. It's done on purpose because there was some sad news to report in the sports entertainment world, if you will. A legend, another legend going out too soon. We're talking about the famous wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yep, that was his entrance music, of course. Being that his character is heavily Scottish, let's go over a couple things that he did for the wrestling industry. The biggest one, besides the fact that he was a huge heel, probably the only person that Ric Flair was in competition with during the 90s in terms of in the 80s and the 90s in terms of being a heel. The other thing that Rowdy Roddy Piper did that was so revolutionary for the wrestling business was he had his own interview segment.
Really?
Before Rowdy Roddy Piper came up with Piper's Pit, which was his interview segment with another wrestler. Wrestlers didn't interview each other. You had a designated, like, sportscaster or designated announcer do the interviews. Piper's Pit was really the first big venue for a wrestler to do his own interviews with other wrestlers, and it comes up with the best hypes for future matches, because you have, you know, you have the competitors that are going to wrestle in the next, you know, pay-per-view or whatever,
right?
And they
right.
get a chance to talk to each other and really talk smack on each other.
Is that something they still do today?
Oh yeah, they do that now. Chris Jericho, he had his own interview segment. The Miz has his own thing called Miz TV. There's been a few. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And it all started with Piper's Pit.
Okay.
He would interview.
So he's like a trendsetter.
Yeah, he would interview his opponent for the next pay-per-view match, and he would talk smack on him, and it was great.
Nice.
And so that was one of the biggest contributions he made in the wrestling field. To really go over his to go over how well known he was. This even bleeds into current sports and current sports stars. Over the weekend, we had Ronda Rousey defend her championship in UFC, right?
Right.
She won in like a quick, like 25 seconds, something ridiculous,
wow.
right? And this came, I think, 24 hours after the news that Roddy Piper had passed away. Who was a big role model for Ronda Rousey. Even her childhood friends actually called her Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah?
Sticking with the R themes.
Right.
And this was her post-fight interview. This is the first person she thanks after defending her UFC championship in less than 25 seconds.
I just want to say we lost a really close friend, Roddy Piper, who gave me permission to use his name as a fighter, and so I hope him and my dad had a good time watching this today.
Rest in peace, Roddy.
So, I mean, even though, you know, we think of wrestling as fake and wrestling as just, you know, a guy soap opera, it kind of bleeds into all of the MMA and UFC and all the fighting leagues.
It still influences people, you know, people that grew up with that. You know, and it left an impact on them. Obviously, it left an impact on her. So,
yeah.
There you go.
And one more thing that I'm going to point out with Roddy Piper is one of my favorite quotes from him. It comes from one of his very first episodes of Piper's Pit.
Okay.
This was when he was interviewing wrestler Frank Williams, who he was facing in an upcoming match. He beats the crap out of him right on the interview segment. Why not?
Nice.
Because he's the heel. So he beats the crap out of him right on the interview set, turns to the camera, and says this awesome, badass line. Take it away.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
I love that.
Nice.
Just when you think you have the answers, I'm going to change the questions.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, he was just an awesome wrestler, great heel. And it's just shocking. He passed away in his sleep due to a heart attack. Very young. I mean, relatively young, 61. I mean,
yeah, no, that is definitely young.
I don't. It just feels like all the greats are just passing away lately.
Well, yeah, they're all getting old. That's why they're the greats.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't call modern people the greats. You only call the older generation the greats.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately, a sad note to tack on during our vacation break as Roddy Piper passes away at the age of 61 from a heart attack. Just a big influence on the wrestling community. Anybody who grew up watching wrestling, you knew who Roddy Piper was. We salute you.
Yes. It's always sad to see the great ones go.
It is. It is. And we definitely lost a good one there. All right, so, you know, there was no easy way to go about that one, but I'm glad we hit, like, kind of a slow portion in the show, got that over with. That will end the entertainment entree, but I do have... Are you ready for this? We haven't done one of these in a while.
Uh-oh. I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's time we do a side dish. Woo! Side dish!
All right. I always have fun doing these because it's always something completely random and nonsensical, something interesting or strange that we found. This time you found something, and I have... As always, I have no idea what it is. In the rundown, I literally have written down ancient healing medicine or some bleep.
Yeah, so this is a weird thing that's going around on Facebook right now. I guess I'll just read the news story as it is here. Should I just dive right in?
Yeah, let's just dive right in. Yeah, what do you got?
Yep. It's going somewhat viral on Facebook. You might see this on your post. A Japanese doctor named Yin Sheng Jutsu, that's his real name.
Okay.
Has claimed that he has come up with a way to figure out, what kind of stress you're going through by figuring out which finger or thumb to rub on your hand and which one feels good. And from that, you can determine whether or not what kind of stress you're under.
Okay.
Now, this is a little bit wacky. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. His website says that he practices, quote, ancient alternative medicine.
All right, then.
Yeah, you know.
Ancient alternative medicine.
Yeah.
As if ancient medicine wasn't weird enough, it has to be ancient alternative medicine.
Yeah. So this is even when, like, back in 600 BC, those guys, they thought they were kooks. This guy has found their teachings, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. And so he's rubbing people's fingers to figure out what's stressing them out or whatever?
Yeah,
is this?
Yeah, and he claims that he has found a system
based
on whichever finger you rub feels the best or feels the most relieving. He can tell which stress you're under.
All right.
Not a finger!
So, it is.
No, it is a finger.
It is a finger. Yeah, sorry. Dad from A Christmas Story, you're technically wrong here.
Not a finger!
It is a finger.
So which finger is it?
All right. So I got the chart here.
God, you have a chart.
Yeah.
Woo! That sounds professional.
Fancy chart, yeah.
All right.
So how about, you know what? We'll start off with not a finger. Let's do the thumb first.
Okay.
All right.
I get it. Not a finger.
Right. Not a finger. Nice. Yeah, that's right. It's a thumb.
Not a finger!
I always hated that joke where it's like, how many fingers do I have? 10. No, 8 and 2 thumbs. Ah.
That is a dumb one.
But what about the thumb? So I'm rubbing my thumb now.
All right.
If people could see, I'm rubbing it.
Okay.
What is this supposed to do?
If you rub your thumb, it is... So let me get this right. If you rub your thumb and it feels good, it means the stress that you're under is worriness, a tension, which is a type of tension. It means that you can use it to reduce anxiety, depression, or sadness. But on a side note, he claims that it also cures stomach aches and anything with your abdomen.
Okay, so how are you supposed to rub your thumb? Are you supposed to,
like massage it?
Stroke it with your other fingers? This seems oddly sexual.
Do you want the old man to come back out?
No, that's all right.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I'm just here doing awful things to my thumb.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
So what's their definition of feels good, though? Like, I mean, I'm rubbing my thumb, but I don't really, like, feel anything. I feel like I'm rubbing my thumb. It doesn't feel good or bad. It just feels like, I don't know, like I'm rubbing my thumb.
All right. Well, if you're not feeling any sort of relief from it, then you're probably not suffering from worriness.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good.
That's good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You don't have a stomach ache, right?
No.
So there you go. All right. That one's not for you.
All right. So let's move on to the next finger.
All right. The next one is, the next one is the index finger.
Yeah.
and apparently according to Yin Sheng Jutsu, Dr. Yin Sun.
Oh, he's a doctor now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He claims to be a doctor, whatever.
Sure. Can I be a doctor then, too?
Dr. Michael Costanzo.
I'm a doctor now. If he can be a doctor, I can be a doctor.
Yeah.
He's talking about finger stroking. Come on.
Yeah.
I know it's something to do with sex.
According to this, for his system, the index finger, it means that if it feels good when you rub it, it means that you have a little bit of fear in you. More specifically, a bad feeling in your gut.
Okay.
So whenever you have the notion that, oh, I've got a bad feeling about this,
you should rub your index finger.
Rub your index finger.
Okay.
It will reduce fatigue, cramps, and back pain, and will help you with any problems with your bladder and kidneys, too.
Okay.
So I guess if you're feeling like you got to go to the bathroom, rub your index finger.
Rub your index finger? Sure, why not?
Sure. No. You feel like you got to go to the bathroom, Mike?
No, I feel fine.
It worked!
Oh, it worked!
Oh, hey! It's perfect! The system checks out!
It's a miracle! Woo-hoo!
There we go. We figured it out. We verified it. Or it could just be a coincidence, but I don't think so. I think it's the ancient alternative medicine.
Yeah. This one's the next one. I love this one.
Okay.
All right.
It's the middle finger.
Yeah, you gotta get to the middle finger. Yeah, so.
I'm just making obscene gestures at Rich.
Yeah. No, you're not. You are.
I'm
doing,
not. This is science.
Yes, you're doing medical procedures.
This is science.
All right. Mike is giving me the middle finger, but it's okay because this is ancient alternative medicine we're talking about here.
That's right. That's right. This is science. This is investigative journalism.
All right. Are you ready for what the middle finger represents?
I can only imagine. What does it represent?
If it feels good to rub your middle finger, it means that your stress is a type of anger.
Oh, whoa, boy. Wow.
Yeah, I wonder what gives that away.
Yeah.
It's according to Yin Sheng Jutsu, the stress is a type of anger, more specifically a frustration or indecision of fatigue. Wow, that seems...
Wait, what was that?
Indecision of fatigue.
So you're... You're indecisive whether you're fatigued or
yeah, I guess
or I don't know. That's very strange.
Yep. Well, I get the anger part.
Yeah, the anger part makes sense.
Ugh, damn it!
All I know is I'm sitting here just off my middle finger. Am I allowed to say that?
Probably not.
This is so bad. That sucked.
Might be a little too direct.
This is the strangest thing ever. I'm glad we don't have video. Alright, so anger.
Alright, so apparently if you rub your middle finger and it feels good, it means you have anger. It reduces uncertainty, headaches, and possible menstrual pain.
Whoa.
Wow, this doctor.
Is that for both men and women?
This doctor, man, he knows some crazy stuff about you, apparently.
Yeah. All right. So what is it? This is the strangest thing ever.
Yeah.
So how long did he spend developing this? Did he just stand there rubbing his fingers all day long and be like, oh, this is relieving my menstrual cramps?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? He spent 2 minutes. I'm pretty sure we've spent more time on this now than he has.
All right, next is the ring finger.
Okay.
He says that if you...
I'm now stroking my ring finger.
Yep.
I figured I'd keep people updated.
Just in case.
Just in case.
If you rub that and it feels good, it means your stress is a kind of sadness. Usually some sort of grief, maybe over relationship issues. I wonder why. It's your ring finger.
Yeah.
Boy, really creative.
These are more symbolic than actually scientific.
Yeah.
Like the middle finger's anger, the ring finger's relationship.
Well, this is ancient alternative medicine.
Okay, that's right.
He says that rubbing the ring finger can solve inconsistent breathing and issues with the lungs and upper digestive tract.
Everything is with the digestive tract.
Yes.
Are your fingers somehow attached to your stomach that I didn't realize?
Yeah.
Did I miss that chapter in biology?
When you're rubbing your fingers this much, you're not eating.
That's true too. The finger bone's connected to the stomach bone. Why do I have a bone inside my stomach? I think I need to see a doctor.
A real one.
A real
not,
one.
Not an ancient alternative practicer.
I would love to go to the doctor and be like, stroke your middle finger twice and call me in the morning. That's a prescription.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm relieving all sorts of dietary distress now by stroking my fingers.
Yep.
So what is the little guy? What is the pinky
finger?
All right,
the last one, the pinky finger. All right. Apparently, if you rub your pinky finger and it feels good, it means that your stress is caused by trying too hard or some form of overexertion.
Okay.
He says rubbing your pinky finger can reduce panic attacks. Loneliness. Wow.
It can reduce loneliness?
Yeah, wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Woo.
Wow.
Screw you, world.
Yeah. I got me and my pinky. Oh, yeah. I'm just furiously rubbing my pinky.
It's Dr. Evil. You just feel so good. Ooh. you can, according to Dr. Yin Shun Jutsu, it can also relieve a pain in the throat. Okay. And relieve, this is in the post. It can also relieve inconsistent flatulence.
All right.
So
if you're having gas problems, just start rubbing your middle, little finger.
Yeah, the pinky finger.
There you go. That's fantastic. I mean, I just spent like this whole segment rubbing my various fingers. I feel really sort of awkward right now. But I gotta say, they all feel exactly the same. I don't understand. Like, I'm not getting any sort of, like, pleasure or euphoria from rubbing my fingers.
Why is it particularly the fingers? I mean, sometimes if you ever have a massage, sometimes they'll, like, massage your hand or your palm.
Yeah.
Maybe down your arm. Like, you know, actual muscles that are
right
in use.
Not the fingers.
Particularly the fingers?
Yeah, I mean, they all feel the same.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it right. I need somebody to help me rub my fingers.
Well, you need to go visit Dr. Yin Shun Jutsu.
No, I was like hoping for like a pretty woman or something. Some old Chinese guy. Or Japanese guy. Or I don't know what he is.
Well, yeah, he's a Japanese doctor of ancient
he's not a doctor
medicine.
I'm sorry, there's no college major for ancient alternative medicine. He's
Why not
a doctor. Because I say there's not. Was his dissertation on finger rubbing?
Probably. That's probably what the
what
hell
a
he's
Looney
been doing.
Tune. God. I want to get a doctorate from wherever he got his doctorate from.
Well, I guess it's somewhere in Japan.
Probably. That's safe to assume if he's Japanese.
But there you go.
So
it's a news story that's going somewhat viral right now. You might see it in your news feed. If you are, we just gave you the entire skinny on it, so you don't have to click it.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the doctor for them to tell you to rub your middle finger.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's not, you know, like other appendages, you know.
you know. I can tell you an appendage that makes things feel better. When you rub it.
Yeah.
Talking about the feet, Rich. When you rub... You know, your feet, you massage all the sores out of it,
Well, you know what? That's a good question. Does this also apply to toes?
No. This is strictly finger. I have no idea.
You were very definitive in that. No.
Well, I...
Absolutely not. Are you nuts?
Are you crazy? This is a finger-only thing, magic,
Wow.
I'm not even using words anymore. I was stroking my fingers too much. That's what it was.
All right. Well, you know what? Mike can't even talk.
Too much finger rubbing.
Yeah, we got too much finger rubbing going on. I think we're going to have to pull ourselves away from the table and put our hands on the table and make sure we're not doing any more of this. And then we'll come at you with the non-fortune cookie odd news. More to come. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah,
He's lost is what he is.
Oh, what all this? What is Gundrak? Roll Tide. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like... what has 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah,
I
know, right? We need to know more about
these hooker farms. Good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado, Esio, do, Kamo, Ti, Yadio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you mixed
it up. Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kick. No, hookah farm, come here. Bonsai, Daniel-san. He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on. Oh, wax off.
Up. Down.
In, out. In, yeah. Out. In. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel,
out.
Remember
in,
when
out.
I told you paint the fence? Oh, and then sand the floor.
Yeah, you're the best. Oh,
no. Nothing I'm gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, I like this music.
We just went through, you know, some alternative medicine for you. And... now we're doing some beatboxing for you. Are you serious? Mike is still rubbing his fingers.
I'm still rubbing my fingers. In time with the music.
Yeah. All right, Mike, I know this is going to be tough for you. You're going to have to stop. Because
okay.
We have
an addiction already. I'm addicted to finger
stroking.
See,
look, the doctor.
The doctor was right.
The doctor was right. All along.
I know.
Mike can't stop rubbing his fingers now.
Can't stop rubbing my fingers. I'm curing so many ailments. It's ridiculous. I've cured every major illness by stroking fingers. I did it, guys.
All right, well, that's good, because now it's time to get to our next segment. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie-eyed news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
The word fear, F-E-A-R, this stands for false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, false evidence appearing real. That's what you can
like
solve.
Like ancient alternative medicine.
Yes, with the ancient alternative medicine.
All right. So for those of you that don't know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these stories, he keeps them hidden and secret from me. I have no idea what he's got. This is my first time hearing these stories. So these are my gut reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen, because sometimes these stories take us on wacky and wild paths.
All right, ready for the first story then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this first one, whew, man, this is crazy to imagine. Authorities in Russia said that they are investigating whether a 68-year-old accused killer dubbed the Granny Ripper,
oh my God,
may have been more akin to Granable Lecter.
This article just loves its puns, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. 68-year-old Tamara Samsonova allegedly admitted to killing at least 3 people, dismembering them,
oh my God,
and spreading their body parts around the St. Petersburg area.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
This is
nice.
This is a grandma here.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because, oh, yeah, it was an old person doing it. Oh, I thought they were killing old people.
No, this.
Oh, it's an old person killing people.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's the Granny Ripper.
Okay, we see. When you said the Granny Ripper, I thought somebody was ripping apart grandmas.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Okay, so Granny is doing the ripping.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Police said that they found Tamara Samsonova's diary that contained her accounts of multiple slayings. Are you ready to hear what she wrote down?
Sure. I'm a little worried.
Yeah. So, dear diary, I killed...
Dear diary. I love how it starts off, dear diary.
Yep. I killed my tenant, Vladia, cut him to pieces in the bathroom with my knife, and put the pieces of his body in plastic bags and threw them away in different parts of the Funzensky District. Very calmly.
Yeah, Funzensky District. They weren't having very much fun there, were they?
I love how it's like a process. Like, oh, in case I want to do this again, this is how you do it.
Step by step directions.
Like it's a recipe.
Yeah. Take one knife, insert into abdomen, and break the sternum. cut off huge shanks of flesh.
See blood.
See blood.
Samsonova is also suspected of killing her own husband. So, wow, there you go. She might be up to four.
Yeah. And that's just... I just can't get over the way she said, dear diary.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was arrested by police and admitted to the crimes. She says that I am guilty and I do deserve a punishment. She has been branded the Granny Ripper by local tabloids. But investigative officials are also launching a separate investigation because when they found the body parts, internal organs were missing.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
This is, like, really dark and creepy. Like, I'm, like, legitimately, like, oh, this granny is, like...
So, not only is she killing you, she's also doing something with your organs.
I don't even want to know. She's building another human, maybe.
She's either selling...
I think she's eating them.
Well...
She's definitely eating them.
Probably.
Probably. Dear diary, I had the most delicious liver stew today.
I never before in my life had such delicious liver and onions.
Thank you, Boris, for providing the liver.
I had Boris for lunch.
Boris came over for lunch. He was delicious.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, you take out the leftovers and you serve it to the next person.
So, yeah, the officials have not yet determined whether it is definite, but it is some weird circumstances, and that is why the tabloids are now calling her Granny Ripper and then Granable Lecter.
It fits. It definitely fits.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yeah, something a little more cheery this time. Not so much cannibalism and, like, murder sprees. It got really dark and creepy. It's like, she's eating your organs.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
It would be old style, you know? Like, you know, don't waste anything.
Don't waste anything. What is she, like, hunting big game? Russians are now equivalent to, like, what, like deer and elk and stuff?
Don't waste a single thing.
Don't waste a single thing.
Don't die
do?
In vain.
Peel their skin and make it into leather?
Grandma got you a really nice present, Billy.
I sewed this for you. Why does it smell like Uncle Boris? Just wear it.
All right, how about we move on to the next story, then?
All right, what do you got?
All right, I've got two Louisiana stories.
Louisiana?
Yeah, Louisiana, okay. Trying to...
We don't really go to Louisiana much, do we?
Yeah, they're trying to make their way as a case for odd news, I guess.
I guess, yeah. They're trying to take the top spot in South.
Yep. Well, this first story, dude, this isn't Grand Theft Auto, all right?
Oh, God.
A 23-year-old man is accused of driving his sports car through a fence and onto an active runway in New Orleans.
Nice.
Before being arrested for drunk driving.
Oh, you mean he wasn't sober?
No, I know. Hard to believe, isn't it?
I know. Very hard to believe.
Police say that the man drove a blue Dodge Challenger through a fence at around noon. Yeah, this guy started
that
early.
That is awesome.
He drove across a runway at Louis Armstrong International Airport and plowed through three fences.
Wow. They need stronger fences.
Yeah. This is seriously what you would do on Grand Theft Auto if you wanted to steal an airplane.
This is exactly what you would do. This is literally the exact thing.
Officials said that the 23-year-old suspect, Caleb Clement, was later captured hiding behind an air conditioning unit at a nearby auto shop that was located on the airport premises.
Again, exactly what you would do in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Run from the police and hide behind something until they go away.
Yeah.
Except this time they caught him.
Luckily, no one was hurt in this crazy incident. Clement had been driving under the influence, so he was arrested and booked on suspicion of DUI and hit and run. Although the driver got onto an active runway with planes taking off and landing, no flights were disrupted.
Wow.
So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I guess he chose the runways that didn't have something immediately taking off then.
I guess.
Or he like drove right underneath as planes were landing.
Like action movie style?
Yeah, he just missed them.
Wow, that's pretty cool actually. Wouldn't that be awesome? Knowing me, though, I would, like, miscalculate and the plane would land directly on my car.
Yeah. It's a true story, but, dude, this isn't Grand Theft Auto. Don't do that.
No. Video games are not real life. Yeah. People like this give video games a bad name.
All right, ready for our second Louisiana story?
Yes.
All right. A 52-year-old man in Metairie, Louisiana has accomplished a hat trick of sorts by getting arrested for a different... I just realized I can't read it the way it is.
Okay.
A 52-year-old man in Metairie, Louisiana has accomplished a different hat trick, if you will. Instead of hockey, he was caught touching himself in public three times in 1 week.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So he was doing the finger stroking too then, huh?
Yeah, he was a part of the Japanese plan over there.
Yeah. So three times in 1 week, was he not arrested after the first or second time? How is that possible?
52-year-old Gregory Guin was collared on obscenity charges Saturday night after a neighbor reported that the suspect was touching himself outside his home. Deputies who arrived on the scene found Gearing hiding in his backyard. He was hauled off to the correctional center and booked.
You said hard.
Thanks.
I just thought I would point that out. Yeah. He was hard and hauled off.
He was
off.
Hard. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
That's one of the things that always baffles me about these stories. Like, the cops show up. He's like in the middle of the act. Like, what do they do? They're like, all right, hurry up, finish up. Or do they just cuff him as is?
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Just makes me wonder, like, how do they handle a situation like that? Like, you don't want to get near them, do you? You know?
So he was hauled off to the local correctional center and booked on obscenity charges. At this point, this marked his third arrest in 7 days for the same charge of public masturbation. Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. He just couldn't stop touching himself.
Yeah, but specifically outside. Like, he can't do this inside.
Well, some people are exhibitionists. They just love to be outside and doing it, you know?
In one of the incidences, he was caught touching himself in a chair in his driveway. So he brought the chair out to the driveway, plopped down, and started going to town, all right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's hilarious. On that occasion, he was intoxicated, so he was charged with obscenity and disturbing the peace. And then the first time he did this act, he was caught in a carport. What is that?
I don't know.
What is a carport?
That's a good question. I'm going to look it up. Carport. Let's see. So it looks like a little, like shed without walls.
It's a shed without walls?
It's basically a shelter for your car. So imagine like a roof.
Park underneath it, like to block it from like rain and leaves and all.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's like half a garage.
All right. So that's where he was when he was first caught masturbating.
Nice.
The best.
So
part
it always
is...
seems to be in driveways or something similar.
Yeah.
Did he go? Did he step it up? Did he go to a parking garage? Oh man. Oh, parking garages.
And an interesting little fun fact, I guess you can say. In all three of these arrests, it's noted in the police reports that the suspect made no attempt to hide his actions. So just like,
well,
hey,
obviously
officer,
not. He got caught three times.
Hey, officer, how you doing?
Which brings me back to my original question. How do the cops handle that? Like, they show up, he's probably still going at it. Do they wait for him? Do they try and grab his hands to stop him? Like, what do you do?
I guess we're going to have to interview a Louisiana cop and figure out
what do you
do
when someone's whacking it and you have to arrest them.
He is now under arrest under a $20,000 bond.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how he was able to do it three times without getting arrested like this.
No, he got arrested. He kept getting out.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. How do you do it once and then get out in like 2 days? And
post
then,
bail.
Then do it again and get out in two days.
If you can post the bail, you're out.
Yeah, but after that second time, they're like, do you think we should keep him a little longer, you know?
Well, that's why they bumped it up to $20,000 now.
I don't know.
I don't think you have $20,000 lying around.
No. Well, at least I hope this guy doesn't.
Yeah.
Can't even afford a whole garage. You just got to get the carport.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yep.
All right, this one I did see over the break, and this is just awesome to imagine. We're going to Iowa in this one. Police in Iowa said that a Taco Bell worker and another man were arrested after officers found meth lab remnants inside the fast food restaurant.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. Nice.
Cedar Rapids public safety spokesman said that officers responded Tuesday morning to a report of suspicious persons outside a Taco Bell. It was closed at the time.
Is that like most Taco Bell customers?
Well, this was at 4 a.m.
Again, isn't that most Taco Bell customers? I don't see anything odd with this story so far. This is just regular news, Rich. Stoned guy went to Taco Bell at 4 a.m.
Well, it was closed at the time. Officers...
Now, that is weird. A Taco Bell that's closed in the middle of the night? Aren't they, like, all 24/7?
No.
No? Not all? Oh, a lot of them are, aren't they?
Well, some of them are.
Okay. This must not have been a very good one.
Yeah, obviously. They got an employee and somebody cooking meth here. Officers arrived to find two adult men outside the restaurant. One of the men told police that he was an employee at the Taco Bell.
Why would you admit that? Why wouldn't you just be like, I'm just some random dude?
I found my way in.
I found my way in.
I ate all the chalupas. Cheesy gordita crunch.
You're making me hungry for Taco Bell.
Officers went inside the restaurant at the request of a manager, and investigators found materials identified as equipment needed for the production of methamphetamine. Yeah.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. So he's like a lesser version of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
The Taco Bell version of Breaking Bad.
The men were taken to a police station to be interviewed. Police believe that meth had been cooked inside the Taco Bell.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. I'll have a chalupa and a side of meth.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, can you sprinkle some meth on that taco, you know?
The meth-lupa.
The meth-lupa.
I'll take one meth-lupa.
They have those, like, box thing, those box meals, you know?
Yeah.
You get, like, meth in the side, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Where you get, like, the two chalupas
or
whatever.
Yeah, a little box, yeah.
Yeah. They should serve that with meth now.
It's in the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, this one going to North Carolina. Police in Hickory, North Carolina are actually searching for, quote, an axe-wielding clown.
Oh, my God.
Because he threatened a woman early Friday morning.
That sounds terrifying.
Yes.
How have they not found him yet?
Yeah.
Does North Carolina have many axe-wielding clowns?
Oh, it's not that one.
It's not that one.
He's a good guy.
Well, the thing is, the axe-wielding clown convention is in town that week. So there's a lot of them.
The axe-wielding clown convention.
Yeah, everybody brings their axes and they compare notes.
Oh, yours is longer than mine. Okay, all right. I also noticed that when you rub it from left to right, it relieves stress. Very good.
Nice, nice. Now you can rub fingers and axes.
Yeah. The victim called police at 4:30 in the morning. She said that a man shouted at her to come outside. Oh, my God. This woman is so dumb.
She went outside, didn't she?
Yep. The woman said
of course.
The woman said that she opened the door and saw a male figure who was wearing a clown mask and a multicolored wig. Once outside, the victim claims that the clown began swinging an axe at her and attempted to cut her up. At some point during the attack, the woman was able to partially remove the clown mask. She told police that the suspect was, quote, an acquaintance of hers.
Okay.
The axe-wielding clown fled before police arrived. The woman has since filed an arrest warrant against the suspect, but police do not know a motive and do not know who this clown was, so they are on the lookout for an axe-wielding clown.
God, that's terrifying.
Why do you actually open the door? You moron!
Well, I don't think the clown was like, ding dong, axe-wielding murderer.
But some random guy is shouting at you.
Yeah, you'd think you would check out the window first.
Yeah, look out the window.
This guy sounds really angry. I'm just going to run straight at him, you know? No, check out the window first.
Yeah, like, it's 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, this isn't in the middle of the day.
I forgot that little crucial detail. It was at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Why do you just open the...
If anybody's banging on your door at 4:30 in the morning, just ignore it.
Yeah.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Not home.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh, my God. Moron.
That is... It's never going to end good. If somebody is banging on your door at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's almost always going to be bad.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee.
So just go back to sleep.
Yeah. Just ignore it.
If I don't see it, it's not illegal.
That's right.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. This one is a classic. Two New Mexican women are facing drug charges after a police at a traffic stop in Arizona found them smuggling almost 2 pounds of heroin right up the old hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
Yep.
Nice.
Hoo-ah!
We haven't had one of these in a while.
Yeah. 19-year-olds Miranda Baldano and Sarah Valencia were riding in a PT Cruiser driven by 29-year-old Michael Torres.
Well, there's your first mistake. The PT Cruiser, that hasn't been popular since, like, 1998. I mean, really. I mean, no offense to anybody that enjoys a PT Cruiser or has one, but I remember thinking those were, like, amazing when I was 11.
Well, anyway, they were riding when deputies with the county sheriff's office stopped them because of an equipment malfunction on I-40. Police thought the suspects appeared more nervous than they should at a routine traffic stop. A spokesman said that, quote, the girls were unable to answer basic questions that a group of passengers sharing a destination should commonly know. The suspicious deputies searched the car with a drug-sniffing dog and found 1 pound of heroin wrapped in condoms stashed in a rear hatch. When deputies physically...
Is rear hatch a euphemism for butt?
No. No,
oh, okay.
Rear hatch of the car.
All right.
When deputies searched Maldonado and Valencia, they found additional heroin packages in condoms that the woman had stuffed up their hoo-ahs.
Hoo-ah!
That's such a strange job you have.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, hi, honey, how was your day at work? Well, I pulled some meth out of out of a woman's hoo-ah, you know?
Hoo-ah!
In all, the officers recovered 1.8 pounds of heroin.
Oh, heroin, sorry.
Yeah, this was heroin. From the car and the suspects. The street value, $85,000.
Wow.
Right up the old hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
Every time I hear about that, I'm like, I should get into drugs.
You're very calm about that, too.
Like, could you imagine if you sold drugs, how much money you would make, Rich?
Well, that is the point of Breaking Bad and all those Scarface. And
that's true. That's true.
Manny, look at me. Pelican, fly. Come on, Pelican.
And then you can
Why
watch
didn't
pelicans.
He use the pelicans to transport the drugs?
You watch pelicans. It's great.
You know, put it in their, like, their mouth thing. You know how they have those, like, big pouches on their necks? Right? That's pelicans, right?
Yeah. I think
so.
I don't know. I'm not good with animals.
Yeah. Pelicans have those throat things, I think. You can put drugs in there.
And then you rub their little pinky, and then they relieve stress of the throat.
Sure.
It was one of them. I remember that.
Rub their pinky and relieve.
It was a throat. I remember throat was one of them.
Problems with an inconsistent heart rate, and it reduces panic attacks, loneliness, and pain in the throat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And farting.
Yes, and farting.
So your pelicans won't fart anymore.
Yeah. It's a great combo.
Manny, look at me. Pelican, fly. Come on, pelican.
Do pelicans have pinkies, Rich?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
Well, anyway, police are investigating the source of the heroin. They were all arrested.
I would hope so.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. This one, we're going to Texas.
All right, good old Texas, the Lone Star State.
A Texas man has been charged with a misdemeanor theft after police say that he stole two bottles of wine, a plate of sushi, and stuffed them both in his pants, went to the bathroom, and drank two of the bottles of wine.
Why didn't he just leave and drink it? Why did he stay in the place and drink it?
28-year-old Nathan Pfeiffer entered an HEB grocery store in Friendswood, which is a town outside of Houston. He went to an area where wine was displayed and stuffed three bottles into his pants. Police said that Pfeiffer then went into the restroom, guzzled two of the bottles down.
Wow.
Wow. He chugged them.
Jeez.
Then came back out, stopped by the sushi bar, was observed putting a package of sushi down his pants as well, and then tried to leave the store. That was when loss prevention employees stopped Pfeiffer and held him until police arrived. He was then arrested and taken to the local city jail. He was he pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor theft.
So really what he was doing was he was drinking the wine to build up the courage to steal the sushi.
Yeah, because we all know the sushi, man. That's really high-priced stuff. I mean,
it is. It is high-priced stuff, depending on where you get it.
A tray of sushi is like $50.
Well, how big a tray do you think it is?
I'm assuming he went all out.
You think it's like one of like a big party tray of sushi?
He tried to stuff it down his pants.
I thought you meant like one of those little like personal ones. Nice.
Yep. That's what I'm going with.
Good job, Rich.
That's what I'm going with. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But again, I don't understand why he had to drink the wine in the store. Why didn't he just get away with it?
I guess he realized three bottles down your pants was awkward to walk in. If you also want a party tray of sushi, too.
Yeah, that's true.
He was trying to throw a party. That's what he was trying to do.
It's just wine and sushi.
Right, that's all you get.
It's a very strange party.
That's all you get, wine and sushi.
I don't know about that combination right there. I mean, I like both, but maybe not together.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, we always have to have some sort of Florida story.
Without fail, we always have one.
All right, and this story is it's another one of another one of these bright men that have to touch himself in public.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right, so what makes this one different, though?
All right, well, first off, it's Florida.
Okay. That's all you need to say.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
But also, after a cop caught him touching himself on a Florida beach, 44-year-old Byron Christianatis apologized and offered an explanation for his alleged lewd behavior.
Okay.
Are you ready for what he said?
Of course.
Quote, "I'm sorry, officer. My girlfriend was out of town, and I really miss her. I miss the thrill."
So he had to do it in public.
Yes.
All right.
Christianotis was, quote, "sitting in the sand near the sand dunes when Officer Darren Rath of the police department approached him from behind around 6 p.m. Rath reported watching Christianotis, quote, rubbing his genital area." That's what it says in the police report.
Wow.
Specifically, you know. Just in case you didn't.
That is very specific.
Just in case you didn't know what touching yourself implied.
Well, touching yourself can mean anything. It can mean like touching your wrist.
Touching your fingers.
Touching your fingers, yeah.
It could be a medical procedure.
Of course.
Especially in the sand dunes.
Yeah, no judging here.
We're operating here in the sand dunes. While pleasuring himself, Christianatis appeared to be watching an adult female walking down the water's edge. When confronted by the cop, Christianatis, quote, made a spontaneous statement and said the ridiculous girlfriend excuse. Christianatis was arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior and another misdemeanor and was booked into the county jail. So, boy, man, yeah. Oh, the girlfriend's not here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know how it's like, officers, I had to go get my thrills somewhere else.
So I masturbated on the sand dunes.
Yeah. Obviously. What, you never done this before?
Yeah. I do this every weekend.
No, you do it when your girlfriend's out of town,
Mike. Oh, sorry,
Mike.
Sorry, that's
You're
it.
Cheating on her.
You're not cheating on her.
Yes, you
I'm
are.
Masturbating in public.
Yeah.
What are you, cheating on her with the sand dunes or something?
Yeah. Cheating on her with the other women that are out on the sand dunes.
Oh, God. What a genius in that story.
Yeah. All right, and I got one more story for you, and it's another Florida story.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, well, this one we're going to follow the story of 64-year-old Stephen Nichols.
Okay, Stephen Nichols.
Deputies around 2:30 in the morning last night reported that a man identified as 64-year-old Stephen Nichols pulled in the parking lot of an abandoned building on U.S. Route 1 north of Fort Pierce. Nichols, driving a Nissan SUV, revved the engine and started speeding in reverse.
Okay. Sounds dangerous.
Yep. He nearly crashed into a concrete pillar. Deputies, when they finally stopped the vehicle, were able to speak to Nichols, who had a pack of beer in the front seat. Investigators saw an open Budweiser in a cup holder, but Nichols denied that it was beer. Because, you know, okay. Budweiser makes such a vast line of products.
Yeah, it cans water.
Yeah, Budweiser water.
Yeah, sounds awful.
Just when you thought water couldn't get any worse, Budweiser water. Bud water.
That sounds gross.
So, yeah, despite the fact he has an open Budweiser in the cup holder, he denies that there was beer in there.
So what does he say it was then? Did he give an explanation or just left it hanging? Like, yep. No, it's not beer.
Right. Just said, nope, not beer. He said that before this, he went to the gym, then a bar where he drank at least three drinks.
Okay.
He admits
not helping his case there.
Yeah, at least three. That's when he pulled into the parking lot. And that's when he said that, quote, "I need to detox myself mentally because I need to get home to Virginia."
It's a long way from home.
Yeah, you're in Florida.
Yeah, he must have got lost.
That's 800 miles away, just for the record.
Oh, boy.
You know, I know it's a long trip, so I need to, you know, just detox myself. I need to, you know, get the alcohol out of my system.
Yeah.
Despite the fact I have at least three drinks in my system and Budweiser in the front.
Oh, but that wasn't Beer Rich.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't.
Remember?
Beer. Sorry.
That was Budwater.
Budwater. Sorry. Before Nichols participated in field sobriety exercises, deputies also noticed that his zipper was down and his genitals were exposed as well.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So they just noticed that at the end.
I guess when he stepped out of the car.
I guess so.
As Nichols took the field sobriety exercises, he calmly told the cops, "Well, I guess there is no doubt that I'm impaired."
Well, at least he owned up to it.
Yeah, you know what? Just dig the hole deeper. Why not? Just dig till you hit China. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Nichols was arrested on a DUI charge, and he also is going to receive citations because of having an open container of alcohol in the front seat. That's only worthy of a citation.
Yeah, apparently.
So, there you go. Oh, I guess.
What do you say? There's no doubt I'm
impaired. I guess there's no doubt that I'm impaired. Good form, officers. Good form.
Good form.
Yes. You guys have done your work diligently.
I shall give myself up to you. Good form.
Yes. I want to bring that back, by the way. Good form. Good form.
I like it. I like it as a way of saying good job.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm bringing that back.
Let's do it. Yeah. Hashtag good form.
Hashtag good form. Just like this guy, 64-year-old Stephen Nichols. I guess I'm impaired. Good form.
Good form. Good form indeed.
So there you go. That is what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. A lot of variety. Florida didn't really hog the spotlight.
No, it didn't.
But nevertheless, there still is news from Florida, because why the hell not? But before we wrap everything up here, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
We've learned that we need to bring back the term good form. I think that is an excellent way of saying good job.
Yes, good form, good form.
Good form.
I guess I'm under the impairment of alcohol.
You know what's not good form, though? Touching yourself in public. Stop doing it.
Yeah, why is everyone doing this?
What was it, like 3 or 4 stories where people touching themselves in public?
Yeah. Why is everyone doing this?
Oh, God. Just stop.
Just go inside.
Just go into the bathroom or your bedroom or somewhere. Don't go outside.
Go on Tinder. Find some woman that wants to, you know, have some fun. Come on.
There you go.
You can do it.
Oh, but if you can't find any women that want to have fun, maybe you can have fun smuggling drugs in pelicans. Using their little throat pouch thing going on there.
That's Mike's way to smuggle cocaine into you.
Nobody ever suspects the pelican.
Nope, only Tony Montana did.
That's only Tony Montana. And he's dead. So we're good. Yeah. We're good to go.
Yep.
Another thing that I learned, though, is that the axe-wielding clown convention takes place in North Carolina every year, every summer.
Specifically the axe-wielding clown.
Yeah. If you're a bat-wielding clown or a crowbar-wielding clown, I'm sorry, but you got to get the hell out of town.
Yes.
This is the axe-wielding clown convention.
Yep.
It's very specific. It's in the name. We have a meeting every year, axe-wielding clowns only.
Yep.
I'm so excited to go to this year's convention in North Carolina. I also learned that pleasuring my middle finger can cure problems with the liver and nervous system.
Yeah, according to... Well, I don't even forget his name. What the hell's his name?
Yin Shun Jitsu.
Yeah, Dr. Yin Shun Jitsu.
By whacking off your fingers, you can cure all your ailments.
We don't mean cut off your fingers. We mean sensually massaging them.
Yes. In a sexual way.
I said sensual.
I said sexual. It's sensually sexual. Speaking of sensually sexual, I've realized that I still love that goat. I'm going to go buy Goat Simulator and play it on PlayStation 4 this week.
There you go. I'm
very excited to give that a shot. We also learned, speaking of technology, that Rich has an old man trapped in his iPad.
Yeah.
And that's who's doing all the funny button presses over there.
Yeah, he's just on the loose right now.
Yeah, he's a crazy old bastard. And finally, we learned that Satan is winning over God 4-1.
In Super Bowls, yeah.
In Super Bowls.
Come on, God.
God needs to fix this. If he blesses Sam Bradford's knees and keeps the Eagles healthy and helps them win a Super Bowl, it'll be 4-2. You know, he'll be on the rise again.
Yeah, so help us out here.
There you go. That's our official plea to God.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! It feels good to be back, doesn't it, Mike?
It does feel good to be back. Especially with all our weird finger massaging things.
I feel like that was the theme of this episode. Everyone was into
massaging fingers. Oh,
everyone
was touching,
into touching themselves and touching their fingers, and I don't know. It was like a common theme.
It's a very, very weird episode, yeah.
Yeah, the Pope's gonna come and bless Sam Bradford's knees. He's gotta touch the knees.
Maybe the Pope doesn't even need to touch the knees. Maybe he can just stroke Bradford's fingers.
You went there.
I went there.
Good job, Mike.
Thank you. Good form.
Good form. Good
yes,
form, Mike.
Good form.
Excellent. Well, folks, this is part of the madness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you enjoyed all of the chaos that we had, make sure you listen to previous episodes. Go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you can find some interviews, best bits, and other fun videos we've put up there. Most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your phone, your tablet, or your PC. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have a nice little SoundCloud page where we take the best bits of the Crispy Noodle. We shrink them down to a 2-minute promo that you can share easily with family, friends, your police officer,
your finger strokers,
your
ancient alternative medicine doctor.
Alternative medicine doctor.
He'll love it.
Yeah, he'll love it.
He'll definitely love this episode.
Yeah, all about those ancient alternative medicine practices.
Finger stroking methods.
Yes. Perfect. So check out our SoundCloud page for those promos as well.
If you're not too busy stroking your fingers, head on over to Twitter and look us up individually. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it.
That's it.
We'll see you guys next week.
What an awesome finger-stroking episode.
Yep.
See you guys.
See you guys later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!